won't be renewed. Bad luck could get them killed. The hawk shook her head, reverting to human form as the Dwyamer of the spell scar wore away. And now it was Catty Bree a league above the ground, in the empty air, and her human arms could not catch the updrafts. The world seemed to spin below her as she plummeted from on high. Bad luck could get them killed. Chapter 10 Patron. The year of the Third Circle, 1472 DR, Citadel Felbar. The overhead chop came as predicted, painfully predictable to the sensibilities of the seasoned warrior. Brunner found himself disgusted with how pedestrian his opponent proved to be. This was the top student of Brunner's training group. But still, Brunner's feint had been obvious, and the idea that the dwarfling had swallowed it so fully. Brunner easily turned aside to avoid the downward strike, sliding one hand up to the middle of his fighting stick, straight poles this day, and thrusting his arm out behind him, driving the weapon hilt into the ribs of the stumbling dwarfling. Brunner's continuing turn put him directly behind the gasping youth, and he remembered that it was, after all, just a child here, and that thought almost slowed his next merciless strike. Almost. His two-handed slash cracked his weapon across the dwarfling's head and sent him flying to the side and to the floor, where he abandoned his weapon and grabbed at his head with both hands, tears flowing and cries of pain echoing. Gasps came from all around the room, along with a call from Master Muttonchop's Stonehammer to two other dwarflings. Brunner sighed and turned around to meet the charge of not one but two students this time. Fist and Fury, they were called, the powerful Fellhammer sisters, considered among the top students of the training class above Brunner's level. And Brunner had to admit that by the way they were coming in at him, their coordination appeared sophisticated and correct. He settled himself calmly, feet widespread, and easily defeated the twin thrusts with a sudden down-and-over, leftward sweep of his fighting stick, at the same time hopping out to the left to further exaggerate the miss. The nearest of the twins, though, extracted herself almost immediately and with a quick two-step launched herself at Brunner, swinging with one hand, punching with the other. He dived low, shouldering her just above the knee and launching her into a somersault past him, to thump down hard on her back on the dirt floor of the chamber. The collision staggered Brunner a bit, but he never lost his balance and was already into his next move, sweeping a tremendous uppercut that froze the second sister in her tracks and just barely missed taking the tip from her nose. She charged in right behind the uppercut with a roar. Brunner had known that he would miss with his wild swing. The point of the attack was to give him just an eye-blink of time to reset his footing and to get his momentum going. As his stick lifted, he veered that momentum and threw himself into a rolling backflip over the stabbing stick of the female and over her arms as well, landing only a step back to the right but directly in front of her. She was just a child, a girl child, he reminded himself. But with a growl he slammed his forehead into her face anyway, and as she staggered backward under the blow, he leaped up, flattened out, and double-kicked her in the torso. He landed on his side, bounced right back up, and parried the incoming attack from the first of the sisters.
"Bungo's roll!" Emerus Warcrown said to Muttonchops at the side of the room, correctly naming the maneuver Brunner had used on the second charging teenager. "When did you start teaching the dwarflings to dance such a move as that?"
"Haven't," Muttonchops said with a shake of his head.
Emerus Warcrown turned his attention back to the fight, just in time to see one of the sisters go flipping head over heels to the right, and to see the second cringe in pain as little R.R., working her hands, her weapon, and her attention up high, stomped down on her foot. She cringed and started reflexively to double over, and a left hook sent her sprawling.
"His father's sitting at Morit inside, laughing at us," said the king.
As he spoke, the other of the young sisters went somersaulting aside yet again, the victim of a beautifully balanced parry, hook, and throw.
"I'm guessing that R.R.'s jaw's hanging as open as your own," Muttonchops replied. "Moradin's too."
They came at him in a long line, a stream of attackers, sometimes two at once, and in the end the last four together. This wasn't little Arar they were battling, but Brunner Battlehammer, king of Mithril Hall, the great warrior who had held back Obul's hordes in Keeper's Dale beyond Mithril Hall's western gate. And it was Brunner Battlehammer who had sat upon the throne of Gauntlegrim, who had heard the words of Moradin, the whispers of Dumathoin, and the battle shouts of Clangadin. Though he wore the frame of a child's body, inferior to those of his older attackers, his understanding of balance and movement kept those attackers constantly turning and shifting, often right into each other and always clumsily. And whenever that happened, Brunner's fighting stick invariably and painfully cracked against an opponent's skull. In the very first moments of that last assault, four coming at him furiously, Brunner had stopped their charge and tied them up with misdirection, feinting left, then right, then left again so smoothly that the edges of the foursome collapsed upon the middle. He swept the legs out of the teenage dwarf the farthest to his left, half-turned and backhand stabbed the second in line, then pivoted the other way to parry and roll around the stabbing sticks of the remaining two. Running back out to the right afforded him a few moments of single combat with the one on that end of the line. He stabbed, pulled up short, and swept across, taking his opponent's weapon and her balance with him, then reversed suddenly and snapped his fighting stick across her chin, dazing her. In a one-on-one fight, Brunner would have let it end there, but this opponent had three allies after all, and so he leaped up and spun, lifting his stick over her head, and came around with a resounding chop that knocked the dwarfling girl senseless and shattered Brunner's fighting stick in the process. He dived to the floor, retrieving her stick, she wasn't going to need it any longer after all, and just managed to turn sidelong and brace the butt of the stick against his hip as the next in line leaped at him. If it had been an actual spear instead of a blunt stick, that second dwarf would have surely impaled himself. The stick bowed but did not break. The flying dwarf bowed as well, doubling over the forward end, eyes going wide, breath blasted from him. He hung there for what seemed like an eternity, feet off the floor, until the momentum played out and Brunner's stick dipped, dropping him back to his feet. He didn't stay on his feet for long, however, grabbing at his belly, wailing in shock and pain and tumbling to the side. "Are ye having fun, then?" Brunner roared, becoming disgusted with this whole ridiculous exercise. "Are ye? Damned Moradin!" The blasphemy drew more than a few gasps around the room, but Brunner hardly heard them. Up again he launched himself at the remaining two, his stick whirling with seeming abandon, though in truth, in perfectly timed and aimed angles and strikes. He cried out with every hit, his voice filling the air, and soon,